advantage. That is Brewtent.com. Racing's number one website has the value-added information not available anywhere else. Trainer and jockey staff, detailed pedigree data, exclusive Brits pace, speed, and class ratings, free memberships, free handicapping software, race entries and results, handicapper selections, and so much more. For a true picture of how the race will be run, discover Brisnet.com, the official data source of the Kentucky Derby.
Well, include aside 8 Grade 1 stakes winners, plus 17 more that have placed in Grade 1 stakes. That's 21 Grade 1 horses by old Russell Cave math. Two have won Grade 1 stakes this year. Include Betty, won the classic Grade 1 Mother Goose on her way to earnings of more than $741,000. And the undefeated 3-year-old filly Sabadora, Inc., defeated her elders in the Grade 1 Premio Copa de Plata. I'm sure I screwed that up, in Argentina. She won it anyway. That was on December 8th. Include is also represented this year by the crack 2-year-old Riker, winner of 3 straight stakes races, including the Grade 3 Gray Stakes at Woodbine, and the odds-on favorite to earn the Southern Award as a champion 2-year-old colt in Canada. The Includes run big wherever they're asked to run, year in, year out. He has sent a steady procession of stakes winners to the races. Include stands for $10,000 live foal at Mr. and Mrs. Brereton C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com and remember the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
From the horse capital of the world, it's Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis on Fox Sports 1580.
And down the fence they come!
We'll talk about the horses.
Oh, whirl away, pulls away.
The people.
Here comes Tim Tam down the middle of the track now.
And the history of the thoroughbred industry.
And it's Trick Material that went to play 2.5 lengths.
Now live from Kentucky's bluegrass region, here's Ursel.
Well, good morning, and it is kind of a gray morning here at the...
And warm.
And warm, yeah, feels like spring.
Yeah, they
there.
Say it's probably going to be a record breaker for this date. Not for December, but for this date. For like 100 and how many years, something like that, real warm. 150.
I thought the record breaker was back in the late 1890s, they said.
Oh, maybe. Yes, maybe. What, I don't know.
Depends
but
on
I,
who you're listening to. And then there was one in the 30s where it got up to 73 or something.
Yeah, and then about, what, 20-something years ago, because we were living on Clay Kaiser, we had a record breaker for Christmas Day. And, you know, everybody showed up for the Christmas celebration wearing sweaters, and we couldn't have a fire because it was too warm. So
yeah,
that's all right.
Well, we did away with that wood fireplace anyway.
Yeah.
And we've got
gas.
Gas. Yeah, we put in a gas.
We've got gas.
Yeah. Have to take antacids all the time. But anyway.
Oh, gee,
warm.
Yeah. But anyway, well, we got tired. You know, we have electric heat on our house, on our little farm over there. And, you know, during a couple of ice storms during the last few years, you know, we'd be without heat. So, and one year we got caught with some green wood. We had to stay up all night just to keep the fire going.
We take every 2 hours. And then what I do is squirt, you know, fire starter on it, sit there and hope it burn every 2 hours. It squirt and smell. And then I finally got smart and went up the road to Northern Kentucky and got some kerosene heaters, brought them down and started them. And the joke about kerosene heaters is they burn for 12 hours. So in the winter, one of those fill-ups is going to be in the dark. Well, you don't know how full you've gotten it, because in the dark you can't read the little reflecting thing on the side tells you how much you got. So if you turn a flashlight on it, you can't see it at all because it looks like it's full. So it's freezing cold. It's 5 degrees. I'm outside on the porch filling this darn thing, and I have to keep sticking my cold finger down in there to see how that blasted thing is. It was a mess.
Yeah.
It was not a happy time.
I was in bed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, what are we going to do today? Oh, by the way, we're here at the Thoroughbred Center over at the HBPA office, which is a little stone building over by Barn 28. It's been here for 100 years, I guess, and kind of looks like it. But anyway.
Not anymore.
No, that's right.
Longer than that.
Yeah, at least we got a bathroom here. Over at the clocker stand, you don't have a restroom, you know, so you have to jog up to the porta potty.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, well, let's see. I don't know if she'll be here today, but she's going to try to stop by. Alberta Davies is going to stop. She's headed up to Pennsylvania again. I don't know what time she was going to leave, but she was going to come. If she had weren't leaving too early, she was going to... well, she's running both tracks up at one race. She's won races at both parks and the other little Penn National.
Oh.
At both tracks up there. So
okay.
It just depends on one, you know. And so she's... I was anxious to ask her how long it took them to get up there.
Exactly.
You know, and that kind of stuff.
That's a long way.
Well, the parks, the purses there are very good.
Yeah.
I don't think they're quite as good at Penn National, but they're still good.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But little Adam Bowen rides up there.
Oh, you know, yeah. He's got a baby. Good Lord.
Adam is a
full.
graduate of the jockey club, jockey school here. And really nice. Look, coming here. Here comes Michael Blowen already. Yeah. Hey, Michael, how are you this morning?
Good to see you.
I'm excellent.
Well, what else we're going to do? Anyway, Alberta's going to stop by if she can. And Michael Blowen is here, bright and early. We're going to try to get a hold of Steve Moody. He's doing the Gulfstream Park. We couldn't get him last week. Maybe we'll try to get him, well, a little earlier or something. I don't know what we're going to do anyway. We got Jackie's announcements. They're running the Rampart Stakes down in Gulfstream today. And Rampart was a
great magazine back in the 60s.
Rampart?
Yeah.
That's not the way I remember it.
Oh, okay.
She was a really nice race mare back in the 40s.
Oh, I see. Okay. Maybe they named the magazine after her.
Was she
rebellious?
She was by... No, she was very good. She raced for up until 6 years old, I think. She was registered black. You know,
really?
You don't see those.
No, you don't.
No more black. But she was a registered black. She was by a horse called Trace Call, who, as far as I know, didn't sire anything else. But she was out of a mare named Boat, a Man of War, and she was a grand producer. Harry Scott and Sam Riddlebritter.
Oh, really? Nice team.
Oh, isn't that? Yeah. Yeah. Well, he had, of course, he was managing Faraway Farm there for Riddle at the time. And he had Riddle's overflow Man of War mares over there.
Nice. Good position to be in.
Oh, I tell you what, because, you know, he was a great broodmare sire in addition to being a great sire. Well, how are you this morning?
Good. I'm very good. We got some, it's going to be a beautiful day. We've got a lot of people coming to visit.
Mm-hmm.
War Emblem's been going out every day in his big old quarantine paddock and having a great old time. So everything's going good. Keep our fingers crossed.
Mm-hmm. Has he still got shoes or did you pull them?
No, he doesn't have shoes. Yeah.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
He looks great. You got to come and see him. He is really a specimen. I'll have to say this.
Yeah.
Whew.
How tall is he, do you guess?
He's probably somewhere between, I don't know, maybe 16'2".
Yeah.
Good size.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he looks big.
You know, thoroughbreds are like everybody else, I guess, in nutrition and everything, but they're a little bigger now than they used to be on average, you know, because you read back in the, 30s and 40s, and they're talking about a horse being, 15'1", being a good size, and...
That's interesting.
That's small.
Yeah.
You never know what you're going to find out on this show.
It's
unbelievable to me. That's all I can say.
Well, it was probably all wrong, but there you are.
Hey, you have to give me a list of the volumes you're missing in great racehorse series that you have.
Oh, I don't. This you mean this?
Yes.
American Racehorses. I think they stopped writing them back in the late 50s or something like that.
I don't know, but I have access to some. So.
Oh wow!
You do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
I would like
Santa Claus.
Yeah.
I would like to have the one. Let me see. I don't think it's this one. This is 51.
I know that's that's a little modern for you.
I know.
Yeah, it's right up to date.
They changed the type from Gothic to modern, and
it smells like it came out in 1941.
Shut up.
Well, my whole house smells like that, so we don't care.
We don't care either. We don't care.
Yeah, this is the one, I believe. Let me see.
Oh, I know what. It's missing pages.
Yeah.
Somebody pulled pages out of that thing.
Somebody, really? Yeah, on Citation.
Oh.
And that's something.
That's to tear your hair out.
Yeah, but if you can find that, that'll be great.
Because okay. speaking.
Yeah,
thanks. I'm trying to be generous to him. He's making fun of my lack of hair.
My solution was to go to Keeneland and photocopy the missing pages.
Oh, I tell you, you're going to rip it out of their book. No, you're not going to do that.
No.
Okay, good.
Not while they're watching.
We don't want that.
No, it had to be the 1949.
Okay. If you can find a 49.
If you can find me a 49.
Okay. I'll look for that.
I'd appreciate it. And anything prior to...
With all the pages intact.
Can you believe that somebody ripped pages out of a book? That just kills me.
Yeah, it's
crazy. I love books. I've got books since I was... The ones I had when I was a kid.
Yeah, since we're totally off the topic. Do you know who Neil Cassady is? Neil Cassady was Jack Kerouac's friend.
Oh,
and
okay.
They went on the road together, and Jack Kerouac wrote On the Road based on their experiences. And Neil Cassady did some writing that was nonfiction on the same trip, and he kept kind of a diary.
Oh, okay.
And they published it years ago for City Lights Press. Well, the other day, I was on the internet looking up my childhood idol baseball player, Red Sox third baseman, all-star, Frank Melzon, because I wanted to know if he was still alive.
Yeah.
Well, he's alive. He's 85 years old, and he still runs a restaurant in Massachusetts.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So while I'm there, I find out that there's this Neil Cassady's book is autographed by Frank Malzon. And I'm thinking, how is this possible?
Who's Frank Malzon?
That's my third base idol.
Oh, you're kidding. It came together. Yeah. The karma.
Yeah. So I got it. And inside the book, it says, "Can you believe I almost signed this kid to the Red Sox, Frank Malzon?"
Oh,
and it's Neil Cassady. So anybody's into the Beat Generation and the Red Sox at the time, this is like all the stars aligning.
Yeah, that's great. Remember when you were
this
a kid?
This is our little literary corner for the day.
Yeah, there we go. Okay, that's fun.
Isn't that exciting?
So you got it?
Everybody's gone back to bed now.
So how did you
including me.
Did you go to Amazon and get it? Is that how you did? Yeah, that's great.
It came out of a rare bookshop up in Chicago.
Wow. I'm impressed. That's fun.
You never know.
Yeah. It's terrible dangerous, though, to get on because they'll say, people that looked at this, what I just bought,
right,
my Christmas stuff for Betsy with horses, right, also bought this and this and this and this, and then you're off to the races.
They know more about what you want than you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's very frightening.
Absolutely. Okay, I want a pony for Christmas. I want a pony I can ride and bully.
You got a push-button mare. You know, but I think the mare is
16 too.
Yes, I think the ground is. I think she's grown a little bit for Jackie.
Yeah, I know.
I have a friend of mine. I'm going to talk to Chris McCarron about maybe taking this horse if he has room for it over his jockey school. But Mikey Arrow has a nice horse. Mikey Arrow's been winning a lot of races up at Philadelphia Park at Parks, and he's got a horse that he wants to retire. Because he was a really, really nice horse, but just getting tired. And there's nothing wrong with him. He's perfectly sound.
How old is he?
Five.
Oh, nice. That's
and his name is Blame the Jockey.
Oh, I love it. I love it. That's outstanding. That is so. Well, if he doesn't, think of Lisa at Rerun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She's moved, you know.
I know.
They got the new, and New York Racing Association has, golly, fabulous farm. Wonderful barn with an apartment in it. She lives in the barn, and the sheriff lives next door, comes checks on her every day.
Oh, wow. The sheriff?
I thought you said John Sheriff.
Oh, yeah.
No. The sheriff. I mean, sheriff, it's beautiful.
That's great.
And they put in new fencing for her and all that kind of stuff. So
they're waking up over there.
Might be. It's up near Saratoga somewhere. Is there a place like between Saratoga and Albany?
Yeah, there are.
Yeah.
Just some nice farms up there along Hudson River.
Well, and they just, you know, I think that's wonderful because I know you just do retire, but she does rerun, find some homes.
Yep.
She must have a Rolodex the size of the great outdoors.
That's another thing the computer is good for. And that's a good thing the TAA has put out. The TAA magazine has some names and addresses and what each group can do and what each group does best. And it's really, really helpful. Magazine.
Super.
All right. Can I?
Oh, it's his show again.
Oh, he's got to do a commercial. I can tell by the look in his eye. He gets that glint, doesn't he? Looks like Sandy.
Little dollar signs show up there.
It's his show.
Well, in 2015, yearlings by Art sold for an average of $167,618 with a high of $675,000. Art stands for $40,000, due in the full stands of nurses, and he's a bargain. In 2015, he was represented by his 10th Grade 1 winner in Grand Arch. Grand Arch won the Grade 1 Shadwell Turf Mile, then ran a game third in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Mile to increase his earnings to more than $1,807,000. Four of Arch's 10 Grade 1 winners were this year, and were year-end champions, excuse me. Liz, headed, of course, by Breeders' Cup Classic winner Blame, who concluded his career with earnings of over $4,368,000 and an Eclipse Award. Blame, like his sire, is a bargain. He stands for $25,000, doing a full stands of nurses. His 2015 sales yearlings average $139,140 with a high of $600,000. They sell because they run. It's that simple. Blame has sired 11 stakes horses in his first crop. Seven have won a place in graded stakes with three graded stakes winners. Arch and Blame descend from a sire line noted for stamina, and they stand at Cleveland Farm. For more information, get in touch with Bernie Sams at 859-233-4252 and see the website at clevelandfarm.com. Hopewell Insurance, founded back in, what year does it say there, Dak?
1955, 60 years ago.
Oh, just like yesterday.
Okay.
That is yesterday.
That's for you. Is this for me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Thank you. When we moved to Bourbon County 30 years ago, phew, we weren't too happy with the company that we had been carrying our insurance, so we thought it would be a good idea to go to a local company in Paris. It was a great decision. We asked around, and the name that kept coming up was Hopewell Company. It's an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance agency. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, offer the best coverage at competitive prices. People at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of what insurance you've got now. They cover everything for us. House, cars, barns, farm equipment, liability, my ancient trailer. You name it. Give them a call. That's the Hopewell Company, Joe or Ted McLean, 987-2347, or stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They do a great job for you. Ursel personally guarantees it.
Absolutely.
That's worth a lot.
By golly.
All right, here's somebody else that I recommend. And that's the Clay Ward Agency for insuring horses. Insuring horses, not shoeing horses. Sound like I said shoeing, didn't it? If you're insuring horses, that's the place to go. They've been in business since 1931. It's a vintage year. Vintage year. And they, of course, have very successful. It was founded by Mr. James Clay Ward, and the business was founded on during the Depression, as a matter of fact, and it became successful because of hard work, attention to detail, great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business, and those qualities are carrying on still today at the Clay Ward Agency over in Bourbon County in Paris. That's Shaq Parrish and Bruce Isaacs and John Hess. I'll give you their number over there. It's 987-1861. And just think of the Civil War, 1861, and you've got it with a 987 in front of it. Or you can stop by the office. It's right there, 1102 Main Street on Paris, on the right going in. You can't miss it. Great people to do business with. I mean, they're just nice people, and they treat you right, and they flat know what you're doing. So if you want to insure something, if it pertains to the horse, they are the people to go to. And also, they're closely affiliated with Indian Creek Farm. And it's a great place to board your horses. I mean, they raise them, they board them, they sell many of the world's finest thoroughbreds, raise many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. Beautiful farm, top horsemen. You just couldn't ask for anything more than Indian Creek. And let me give you their website. You can go there and you can call Shaq Parrish or Nikki Dryan at 987-7443. Or go to the website, which is IndianCreekKY.com. That's the Clay Ward Agency in Indian Creek, and that's two businesses over in Bourbon County that you should be doing business with. Great people. Alrighty.
Now, back to the Thoroughbred Training Center in Ursulelis.
All right, trailer just pulled by. Who's
I think that's Millie.
Is that Millie's trailer?
I think so.
Oh, boy.
I saw it in the...
Yeah, it is. Maybe I'll get my hug this morning. Get my batteries charged this morning.
It's pathetic, isn't
Go
it?
Go for it.
It's totally pathetic.
Go for it. I don't want to know. Just do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, please.
Oh, Millie's
another reason we're on radio.
Yeah.
Millie's a sweetheart now. She really is.
Yeah, she's training off the farm. Brings them out here and works them on Saturday or one other day, and
nice.
It's working real well for her.
Yeah. Millie, Dortmund is, of course, you bred Dortmund, and he came back big.
Yeah, very big.
And yeah, in more ways than one.
Yeah, he's much bigger.
He's still growing. He's huge.
70, over 17 hands, but he's coming forward.
But he can
now.
Hold it. It's really interesting. I always thought we used to say a good big horse is better than a good little one, but when they get so big and they fall over their own feet, but Dortmund seems to have it all together.
Tremendous stride on him.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
They're talking about running him back into Malibu, which is 7 furlongs. That may be a little bit short, and he's going to run into you know who.
Run happy.
Yeah.
He'll take some catching, but that's,
that's the way it goes. Plus, he might. He might just be using that for a prep to go longer.
Well, he could.
What did he just win? How long was that thing? He just won a mile?
No, it wasn't that far. I forget now. You should ask her. Okay, come in here, Millie. We'll take
Yeah, really.
She would know. But he won awful easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love to watch him run. You watch him going down the backside, and it looked like he was taking one stride. Everybody else is two. Unfortunately, American Pharoah was in front of him.
Unfortunately, American Pharoah was in the barn with him. I think once American Pharoah got out of the barn, all the other horses' spirits picked up.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
It's really amazing. I mean, people probably think this is crazy, but after the Belmont Stakes, Bairn had run, I guess, the day before, run badly, or didn't win. And after the Belmont Stakes, everybody's met, back at that barn, everybody was, of course, hovering around American Pharoah, and Bob's letting them pet him and take pictures and all that. And Bairn's about a couple of stalls over, and he's way in the back of the stall with his head down and his ears back, and he wouldn't come to see anybody except Jill.
Funny.
And you see her for a minute, then you go right to the back of the stall again, because he can tell what's going on.
Yeah.
They're very smart.
Yes, they are.
They are very, very, yeah. Exactly.
They really are.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, that's what I tell people when they come to the farm all the time. I said, if you can go to the sale and figure out which one the smart one is, it's the one you want. Mm-hmm. There was a woman who came on a tour who was the underbidder on Silver Charm.
Is that right?
Yes.
Wow.
She went up to 80,000, and she came to the farm. And he sold for 85,000, mm-hmm. by the way. So she came to the farm with her husband. And I was telling a little story about, his little turned out in the front, his confirmation isn't perfect or anything, but he's a great racehorse. And I think one of the main reason is he's so intelligent that he knew how to be a racehorse. He knew how to be an athlete. He understood the game. And she turned around to her husband. She goes, "You hear that?" I said, "Well, what's going on?" And she goes, "Well, I was the underbidder. I went up to $80,000, and my husband told me. So little turned out. I stopped bidding."
Yeah.
So for decades now, this poor guy has heard it every day. I said to him, "I don't know why you haven't committed suicide or divorced her. I mean, how can you wake up every day and say, we could have had Silver Charm if you weren't so knowledgeable?"
Of course, I personally knew 16 people who were underbidders for Man of War. But
yeah, there you go.
Well, I'll tell you what. They come in all sizes and all shapes and all kind of confirmation.
Yep.
It's funny. But I have my personal preferences for a great shoulder and a nice long neck. But there have been horses with not great shoulders and shorter necks.
You can stand at the top of our hill and you can look at the way Gulch looks and Alphabet Soup and Afternoon Delights and Game On Dude, and you tell me what the common denominator is, and it's only intelligence. They don't look like each other. They're not built like each other. Their conformation's all different. Their breedings are all different. The training method's all different, and they're all different. But
what you need to do is figure out how to give them an IQ test before you go to the
sales. I know that. Exactly right. That's precisely it. And I'm trying to get some of these young students to get involved in trying to do that. It'd be kind of interesting.
You kind of, when you go to the sales, Ursel's real good at this. You see which one walks out paying a whole lot of attention, but doesn't get screwy.
No, that's exactly right.
And that's...
Yeah, you should always go and watch them in a stall.
Yeah.
And, of course, that would have eliminated Man of War.
Yeah.
Because when he was a two-year-old, a yearling, they said he'd torn that stall to pieces.
Yeah.
You know, he'd have gone in and, you know, he wouldn't have bought him because...
That would have been a minus, but his looks would have been 10 pluses. We've got a picture of him as a weanling.
Do you see the video they put out of him? Have you seen that video? It only lasts a few seconds, but that is impressive.
Yeah, it's on Facebook.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. YouTube put it on Facebook or somebody did, yeah.
Every time you go on there, Jack is finding something else on Man of War. Good Lord, you know, I mean, that's...
That's wonderful.
Yeah, it's fantastic. You know, pictures that I've never seen before. I thought I'd seen them all, you know, down through the years.
We have a great... Is that Man of War getting on that... Yes.
You gave me the picture of him getting on the trailer.
Yes.
Yes, that ancient trailer that was way up off the ground. It looks like it could have tipped over. That was amazing.
Yeah, that was a great picture. It's got Miss Dangerfield's name on the side.
Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And what they were moving, obviously they were moving her from Miss Dangerfield's farm, which was now Spendthrift, but was Plum Lane, right across from the jot him down store over right. on Russell Cave. And obviously they were sending him down to go to Riddles, you know, because he was first retired there, went to stud there. Oh, he looks gorgeous in that picture, you know, and that little old van.
Yeah.
Oh, putting something
looks
in there.
Looks like he ought to be pulling the
I
would, van.
I wouldn't so put our dog, my dog in that I van, know. You know.
Well, you know, I'll tell you fun. When we were driving out South Broadway yesterday or so, and the old railroad tracks are down there. And Ursel said, Dixie Anna and Calumet.
Calumet.
Had
railroad cars, you know, where they hauled horses in. And they kept them down there.
They were the only two that he can remember. But somebody, who did you say?
Mirworth. Walked? Mirworth used to walk their yearlings from the farm, Mirworth Farm, out to Leestown Road.
Yeah, down, yeah. I know, right?
They would walk them all the way downtown to the out to South Broadway out there and load them on the trains to go for the Saratoga sales.
You know. Can you imagine?
That's a long walk.
That's a long walk. Bunch of silly yearlings. My goodness.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have done that. I mean,
that was before Ace.
Yeah.
And you have that old train station down off Spring Station where they used to bring them to and load them up. All the Woodford County ones would load up at Spring Station.
Oh, yeah. That's now a restaurant. Is that the same one or not?
No, it's a different one.
Huh.
It's an empty building. It's a beautiful old building, but it's way down on the other side of Blackburn Farm.
Oh, okay. So they local down there would do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. I love that stuff.
How would and you then like they just what made that walk go from Mirworth?
Oh no, I mean I don't want to do it with my sneakers. And
would it have to be about 12 miles?
Yeah, I would say.
Yeah, something like that, 10 to 12 miles.
And how many yearlings? I mean, a lot.
Yeah, they bred a lot.
They did. I don't know if their consignments were as big then as they turned out to be, you know, back in the 60s and 70s when Walter had it.
Yeah.
You know, before Walter passed away.
I don't know.
Yeah. But they, you know, they're still using that farm out there, you know, and it's...
Yeah, New Vocations is out there now.
Miss Donaldson's buried there, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
I liked her.
Yeah.
She's funny. She's a very nice lady.
I knew her dad. I never met her.
Yeah.
But I knew her father. I wrote a first person story for him once for the Daily Race.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. It was kind of fun to write about, you know. But anyway. Okay. Yearlings by First Defense sold for up to $240,000 in 2015. 28 were offered, 24 sold. Horsemen like them. And it's easy to see why. I'm a First Defense sign runners. In 2015, Isaias Jasper was one of the better 3-year-old fillies in training. He won the Grade 3 Victory Ride Stakes at Belmont, the Grade 3 Miss Preakness Stakes, and Aqueduct Bell Harbor Stakes, earned over $340,000. Yet another 3-year-old, Fame and Power, won Belmont's $100,000 Subartan Stakes and placed in Keeneland's Grade 3 Lexington, Churchill's Grade 3 Matt Wynn, and in the El Cajon Stakes at Del Mar. In France, his two-year-old daughter, Antoinette, won Group 3 stakes, and the three-year-old colt, Tomberlane, won the Tatrid Stakes in Ireland. Then, Dundonnell, a Group Stakes winner in England, won stakes at Hong Kong, goes today, I believe it's today, in one of those multi-million-dollar stakes in Hong Kong. He's a sprinter. Dundonnell is, like Eclipse Award winner, Closed Hatches from the first crop by First Defense. Grade 1 winner, First Defense, by Unbridled Song out of Empire Maker's half-sister, Honest Lady, a Grade 1 winner, and she's by Seattle Slough, and sent a steady procession of quality stakes winners to the races. Stands for $7,500, doing a full stands of nurses, and he stands at Judmont Farm. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry at 859-272-7629. Take a look at the website, judmont.com.
Everyone in the horse business knows about Sally Van Service. They've been in business for more than six decades. Number of breeding trip runs into the millions, and many of the finest thoroughbreds in the world have enjoyed a safe trip on a Sally Van. But did you know they can also service your diesel at Sally Vans? Or for that matter, they can take care of your trailer too. You want to do that and get that going before, make sure you got all that stuff taken care of before breeding season, which is right around the corner. So give them a call, 859-255-9406. They're conveniently located in Lexington. When it comes to moving your horse, depend that a Sally Van's in tip-top condition, person behind the wheel's an experienced driver, and an experienced horseman. And that's why, for over 60 years, Sally Van has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
They brought one of them to us.
Commissioner, the great APN, his last classic-winning son, has retired to Windstar Farm. We're going to stand the 2016 season for $7,500. Payable one of full stands and nurses. Commissioner went out a winner, handily taking the Grade 2 Hawthorne Gold Cup on November 28th. That increased his lifetime earnings to over $962,000. Commissioner broke his maiden as a two-year-old at Saratoga, went on to score victories in the Grade 2 Hawthorne Gold Cup, the Grade 3 Pimlico Special, the Grade 3 Skipaway Stakes, that's at Gulfstream. He also placed in three more graded stakes, including back-to-back seconds to Tunnelist in the Grade 2 Peter Pan and in the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes. Turned in a terrific race into Belmont, going to the lead at the start and taking Tunnelist right down to the wire, just missed in a head-bobbing decision. Commissioner is a half-brother to Laugh Track, a son of Distorted Humor, that won graded stakes and finished second in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Sprint, out of a stakes winner and graded place, Flaming Heart. There's an abundance of black type and classic performance in Commissioner's pedigree. He is not only entering the stud for a modest stud fee, he is eligible for Windstar's Dream Big program, whereby you may own a lifetime breeding right. Just call Kyle Wilson, Sean Tugel, or Caroline Walsh at 859-873-1717. See the website windstarfarm.com.
Now, back to Horse Tales with Ursula Ellis.
All righty. We're talking to Michael Blowen and my lovely bride over here.
Oh, geez.
Last couple of years.
Did you see that?
Or was that decades?
You see that English woman and her husband, they've been married 90 years?
No.
Yeah.
90 years.
How old are they?
Well, I think she, one of them's 103. I think she was 103 and he's 108.
God.
I mean, she was 13 years
old. Are they sure they're alive?
Huh? Yeah, they were on TV.
Oh, they look alive?
Huh?
They look, they were breathing, huh?
Well, I don't know. I didn't take out my stethoscope, but they look pretty good to me. I mean, how good do you have to look to be 108?
Not,
I mean, really.
Just breathe in and out.
You're not going to be playing for John Calipari.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Makes you feel younger, doesn't it? Knowing somebody who's been married for 90 years?
Yeah, that makes me feel like spring chicken. I'm going to go out and jog around the track.
No, don't.
Don't worry.
All EMS.
That is it.
Follow you.
Well, I'm going to excuse myself. I'm very excited today because some people from Calumet Farm are going to come over and take
good.
A tour.
So excellent.
I'm really looking forward to it.
Have you ever been on that farm?
Yes.
Yeah.
I was given a tour about last summer sometime. I've been years since I'd been out there. And just walking through that graveyard out there, and you look at, gosh, you know, it's history. I've got to go, and I've been threatening to go. And Neil Howard said he would arrange it where I could. I want to go over and see the old green tree graveyard over here, and also the old Whitney graveyard, which is, of course, that's all Gainesway now.
Yeah.
But, you know, the horses are buried over there. My Lord, that's, you talk about history.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, they did that really wonderful book. I'm trying to think of the name of it now.
The one about gravesites?
Yes.
The monument, something or other like that.
Yeah.
I've got it at home.
Yeah, I do too. But they should they should do a new edition of that book because it's very, very interesting.
Barbara Livingston didn't do that, did she?
But she's coming out with a third volume of the old Friends book.
Yes, that.
So she says, she called me, she goes, you know, everybody thinks I named this book after your farm now. I said, Barbara, yay. I know, we named it after your books. You know that. I know, but nobody else does.
I would love to get her on the show.
Yeah.
You know, we'll
have to get her over here.
Well, yeah, do you know when she comes down?
We never know when she's in town.
No, we don't either. She just kind of shows up and says, brush that horse.
Yeah, exactly.
Hand her a brush.
Yeah.
She posted one picture this morning or yesterday. You know, Chincoteague is one, and Assateague is the other, and she was on Assateague. She kind of likes that one. But a beautiful picture, ponies through the reeds, kind of, you know, it was beautiful.
She's unbelievable. She, the new Old Friends magazine from the Daily Raceform is probably going to come out just before Christmas.
Oh, good.
But the cover is Silver Charm. Her picture is Silver Charm that is absolutely spectacular.
Oh, that's great. That's wonderful.
Yeah, it's really, really beautiful.
She's unbelievable.
And we have many of her pictures signed, photographs signed,
nice.
And available for purchase at the exquisite Old Friends gift shop.
Yes.
Where Ken Ramsey and other people buy their Lubricin.
That's good.
And people come by. And
well, we're running out of
Lubricin. I know. I'm down to one bottle. I've got to call them. Yeah. Get them. Ship me over a box.
I took mine this morning.
Yeah.
Keep on jumping. Okay, I think you got Steve Moody.
I hope so.
I think you got somebody who's actually going to dispense some legitimate information.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. You know. But anyway, I'll keep you posted. I'll let you know about the tour today.
And I'll call you about which one of those books he doesn't have. That's great.
I should say this, too. Representative Barr and his equine team are going to come to the farm a week from Monday.
Isn't that cool? He's got an equine team.
What do you mean?
Well, you know, he's got advisors that help him. You know, I think Eric Bunning, who's, I think, Jim Bunning's grandson, maybe?
Well, and then he
grandson,
must be
Susan Bunning's son, I believe. But anyway, he's very smart, and he advises him on equine matters for Congress and things and legislation. So,
girl, I went to high school with used to babysit all those Bunning kids.
Really?
Yeah, about 157 of them. I mean, no, actually, they were about six or eight or something, but they were nice people.
I want to, you know, when you talk about going to, this ties in kind of, but you talk about going to Calumet. You know, going to Calumet, to me, I got to go to left field once with Ted Williams at Fenway Park.
You're cute.
No, and it was just a thrill. It's just totally a thrill to do that. And he told me that the toughest pitcher he ever faced was Jim Bunning.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yes. He lived in Campbell County, Bunning. So.
I let him.
Barbara Martin was girl babysat for him, but they had about six or
eight. I let a perfect insult slip by this thing.
Good.
He's getting, isn't that
now,
nice?
Now, see, the boy that's the quarterback here for UK is Bunning's grandson.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was just going to say that you've been in left field all your life.
There you go. I have been. That's exactly true.
But people can change.
You're going to get Steve. Really. Okay.
All right. We got Steve Moody waiting. You've got some more ads to do, and thank you very much. And we'll
see you next week. Don't you have a hat in the car? The sun's coming out, and there's a glare is going to get people if you're not careful.
Yeah. I know. I thought it looked pretty good.
And I know because I've got the same problem.
Powder your head.
I got it. I have my War Emblem hat in the car.
I ran into Bob Copeland at the post office down Paris.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, Bob. If you're standing there long enough, you know, we were talking. By the time we were through, there were about five people standing there talking, you know, can't get out of that post office. But anyway, Bob, you know, he's the same condition you and I.
Sure.
And he still goes and pays to have his hair cut.
Yeah, I do too. Can't tell.
What
I get it coiffed.
What a waste of money.
Coiffed.
I got a hair designer. Helps me.
It does?
Yeah.
Jackie does mine with a pair of clippers.
What would you look like with
mane clippers? So you got those little narrow, you know, where you trim bridle plaits and things like that.
Yeah,
that works real good.
Yeah,
no,
just
you know, you never know how what kind of tips you're going to get on this program.
I know.
That's all I can tell you. It's unbelievable.
Tips, money saving
everybody.
Tips.
Barbershop tips by Ursula Ellis. Call 1-800-URSUL.
Not only that, for about $10, I'll book it with Jackie.
That's great.
Oh, that's another hat I need to wear. Yes.
Ralph ought to put in a little barber stool right there. You can do it right there at the bar.
Ralph is advertising for a barber.
He's just about three doors from the barber shop, you know.
Yeah, and he's right across the street from that event center where we had the dinner dance the other night.
Yeah. Okay.
I wish I'd gone to that.
It was fun.
Yeah. Well, we had Betsy.
But Ralph has better beer, so. Even though the beer was free at this event, I went across the street and bought one from Ralph. And it was worth every penny.
Perfect.
All right. Well,
all right. I promise I am leaving her. So he's going to have a heart attack if I don't leave.
I'm going to make sure you do. The door's about to open.
Don't hit it. I won't let it hit me on my way out.
Awesome again inside. 61 stakes winners, 14 grade one winners, and he stands for a stud fee of $75,000. One of Awesome Again's 14 grade one winners is DeHare. DeHare accomplished that feat by winning the Grade 1 Cigar Mile in New York. At stud, DeHare has sired a remarkable 13% black type horses from foals, 16% black type horses from starters. Average starter by DeHare earns right at $60,000. That's another solid statistic. In other words, DeHare's getting runners, and a high percentage of his earners earn black type. If you are breeding to race or just want to black type your mare, take a look at DeHare. Stands at Shadwell Farm. Also there are the stallions Albertus Maximus, a Grade 1 winner. He won the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile and Millionaire, and the sire of a 2-year-old stakes winner in his first crop this year. He had another 2-year-old win just yesterday at Laurel. Also there is Interdab, a graded stakes winner and sire of graded stakes winners. Call Kent Barnes and ask about breeding incentives. The number over at Shadwell Farm is 859-224-4585. Take a look at the website at shadwellfarm.com. We were talking about our buddy Ralph Quillen over at over in Bourbon County, over at Paris, and his Quillen Tack Shop, of course, a leather and tack shop, has been in business, gosh, since 1982. And they're the nation's largest custom halter shop. Shipped over 20,000 halters this year alone. Over 20,000. They ship them out worldwide. Great, great products they put out there. Also, they've got a gift shop in there. Christmas is coming up. We went in and bought some Christmas cards from them. And you can go in and find gifts for the horse lover in your family. And anything pertaining to leather, well, it's the best right there at Quillen Leather and Tack. You just can't go wrong. Let me tell you how to find it. It's on Main Street in Paris. You keep going straight in from the Lexington, going to Paris Lexington Road. And you go to the third stoplight and look on your left, and there you will see the sign Quillen Leather and Tack. Or you can go to it's Quillen.com if you want to check out their website and so forth. And Rooster Brewery is also operated by Ralph. And Ralph, you got something new on Rooster Brewery over there? He's always doing these things, you know. He's going to open up another branch down in Lexington, and he's going to keep us posted about that.
Somebody took my paper.
But Michael Bowen was just talking about, you know, going to across the street to buying a beer, you know. Went to the farm manager's dance and went across over to Ralph's to buy a beer because they've got such a great selection there. And, yeah, that's a fun place to go to. They're open on Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays.
And they have special events and stuff, you know, where they have Liam's Fancy Irish Dancers, and they have barbecue nights and stuff like that. They have, what do you call it, trivia.
That's on Thursday nights, I believe.
Yeah. So I want to go over to that sometime. That sounds like fun.
Yeah, our whole life's been trivial.
That's right. Me too.
Well, that's us. Quillen Leather and Track and Rooster Brewery over in Bourbon County. Well, More Than Ready sired 20 grade one winners and 150 stakes winners, making his claim as the best of them all, Verrazano. He was brilliant. He won the grade one wood. He won the Grade 1 Haskell Invitational, won that by nearly 10 lengths, widest margin in the history of that important race. He won the Grade 3 Pegasus by 9 1/4 length, won the Grade 2 Tampa Bay Derby by 3, and his first two starts by a total of 24 lengths. Posted the fastest buyer speed rating of any three-year-old of his year, 116. Since then, only American Pharoah and Uncle Mo, his stablemates at Ashford Stud, have registered higher buyer speed figures, says the three-year-old. He ventured abroad where he was the highweight older horse in Ireland, a distance of from 7 to 9 1/2 furlongs, where he was second by less than a length in England's Grade 1 Queen Anne Stakes. Retired with earnings of $1,877,983. Barrazzano is one of two graded stakes winners out of Enchanted Rock, a daughter of Giant's Causeway, and a Grade 1 winner, Sheik Shireen, by Mr. Prosper. Superb pedigree. His Info Mares offered this November, his first of them, conceived in this country, sold for up to $275,000 and averaged over $100,000. Stands for $20,000 doing a full stanza nurses. Call the farm, 859-873-7088. Take a look at the website, coolmore.com.
We run discoverbristat.com, the official data source of the Kentucky Derby.
I think my mic, there it is. It's on now. Thank you, Ressy. we've got Steve Mooney on the line. Steve, the author of the Gulfstream Handicapper Sheet, now is, which is published by Bloodstock Research Information Services. And go to brisnet.com to pick up a copy of it. That's BRISNET.com. Good morning, Steve.
Morning, Ursel.
How you doing this morning?
Oh, not too bad.
Well, good. We missed you last week. You played hooky.
Yeah, stayed up too late, and so I was Z'd out when you called.
Ah, well, that happens. That happens. It sounds like something like Jackie would do. Anyway. Well, they're running the Rampart Stakes. Is there anything else they're running down there today?
They've got some other minor stakes as well. Actually, they got about four today.
Oh my lord!
But the Rampart is the first one. It's the one graded race. It is a 1 mile, which is of course one turn at Gulfstream. Fillies and mares 3 and up. This is a Grade 3. Field of 8 has been drawn. The scratches aren't out there yet, but the track is fast on the main track. This is a pretty evenly matched group, Ursula. I went to the 7 horse in here, Best Behavior. This is a horse that loves the Gulfstream surface. I don't have my form in front of me, but I believe this horse has won either 4 or 5 times over the Gulfstream dirt strip. Has been off since July, when she won there, but she's been working real well for her. And Marty Wolfson, the trainer, is very good with runners off the layoff. He's winning at a 19% rate with those, pretty good. This is the mare by Into Mischief, and she's going to be up close early. I don't think she won't have the lead. Probably the horse on the outside, Moment of Delight, is probably going to be the one to catch. But I look for her to be sitting just off of that one, and one to take over when they turn for home, and then try to hold off the late runners. The 5 horse, Legal Aura, a little bit of a price at 8 to 1. She's also got the ability to stalk, and I think that's what she'll be doing. Kathleen O'Connell trains her. Paco Lopez has the mount. She's off of a good win. She won 5 weeks ago, and the only question mark about her, she's never raced at Gulfstream. You know, if she handles the track there, she's got a shot. She's going to be running late, and I definitely think she'll get part of it if she takes to the surface. The 1 horse, Cali Star, comes off of a big effort, stepping up in class today, but the way she's going, she's another one to look at. This is also trained by Marty Wolfson, so he's got a pair. Actually, he's got three in this race. He's got the four horse as well. So this is one I think you have to look at, too. I do think that she can get part of it. But we're going to go with a horse that has proven herself over the track. She really likes it, and that's the seven, Best Behavior. 7-5-1 in the Rampart.
7-5-1 in the Rampart. Okay. All right, let's get serious now. What about the basketball game today? What's it going to be like?
I tell you what, Ursula, I think if I remember right, Cal Perry's home record against non-conference teams is something like, it's in the 50s, I think 50-something-1. They only lost one time to a non-conference opponent at Rupp, and that was to Baylor back in, I think, 2013, maybe. And I don't know. I think this could be another one today. I don't like the way this team has played. I didn't think they played all that well the other night against Eastern. Defensively, I thought they were extremely poor. If we win it, I think it's going to be a barn burner. I know they're a 13-point favorite, but I don't see it. Golden State kind of struggled early, but they seem to have found themselves, and they come off of they beat Texas A&M, who's supposedly the second best team in the SEC behind Kentucky. They beat them handily. They won at Creighton, which is not an easy thing to do, to win there in Omaha. So I think they're going to be pretty tough. They're physical. And that's something that we don't respond well to with this group that we have. So I think it's going to be a tough game. Hopefully we'll prevail, but I don't think it's going to be easy.
You're thinking along the same kind of thoughts that I am. Oresti's over here shaking his head. Oresti, he can't see anything but blue.
Shaking his head up and down or sideways?
Oresti, he's an eternal optimist when it comes. He thought they were going to go 12-0 in football, Now that's an optimist, isn't it? By any other definition. 0-12 maybe, but not 12-0.
In John Short territory there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, John is something else, isn't he? I think that it's a learning process for this team, and I think by tournament time they'll be awfully good, don't you?
Well, I hope so. I think we've got to get the guys down inside to develop and be able to deal with teams that have bulk down there. We've got to figure out what it is we're going to do. I mean, we had a kind of a similar situation in 2011 or so when we had Josh Harrelson, who was a good outside shooter, and they did a lot of, Cal kind of changed the offense up. He did a lot of pick and pop with Harrelson, let him go out on the floor and make some shots. And with Scal, I think he could do that as well. He's such a good shooter from the outside. Instead of having him banging down there with those guys that are 50 pounds heavier, have him come outside and take that outside shot, because I think he can make it. So it'll be interesting to see how that develops. And the other thing, too, Ursula, is that this team's, their outside shooting from the guards has just been awful. I mean, nobody is really, Tyler's really been poor. Briscoe is, the only thing he can make is a layup, and Murray's been poor. So if they don't get some outside shooting, it's going to be early exit. But hopefully that'll come around.
Well, I hope so. They're not a real physical team, and that's right. I don't know where that's going to come from.
Well, I don't know that it will. You know, they just don't have guys that are, you know, a Scal is I mean, he's obviously bulkier now than he was a year ago, but he's still on the thin side. Marcus Lee the same way. You know, they got the Humphrey kid who's got some bulk, but he's not really playing any to speak of. And they got the kid coming from New Zealand, but I don't, you know, he's going to be so far behind. I don't see really him making that much of an impact. He's got the size that can bang, but, you know, he's fresh out of high school and he's got a lot to catch up, you know, coming in 6 months later, you know, late.
Well, it's, I don't know what to say. You can't be real positive right now, but it's, I think it'll end up being a fun season. I think if this team can go to the final eight, you know, I'll be satisfied with it.
Well, of course, the good thing though, the regionals are in Louisville though, so if they can get in that, you know, whichever the region that's going to be, the Louisville regional, you know, if they can win the first two, you know, you're going to be playing essentially in front of your home crowd. But I'm just right now, I'm not sure they can get that far. Yeah. Things will have to improve. And, I know the season just started seemingly, but we're a quarter of the way in. So, you know, the shooting's going to have to pick up and, their defense is going to have to pick up too. So we'll see.
All right, Steve. Well, thank you so much. I need something to pick me up now. Oh, it's been Steve Moody with the Gulfstream Handicapper Sheet. Go to brisnet.com and you can get that. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it. Talk to you next week. Sir. Well, Cord Vision, Canada's number one freshman sire and a top 10 freshman in North America, is now in Kentucky. Going to stand the 2016 season. Going to stand for $6,500 due on the full stands and nurses, or for $8,000 on Spendthrift's popular Breed Secure program. Cord Vision was a brilliant racehorse. Won two graded stakes as a two-year-old, one grade one stakes at three, one grade one stakes at four, one grade one stakes at five, and he concluded his racing career with a victory in the grade one Breeders' Cup Mile. He won graded stakes on dirt, and he won graded stakes on turf. He won eight graded stakes, five grade one, and he earned over $3,746,000. Cord Vision is one of 75 stakes winners by Gulch, and he's one of four stakes winners out of Weekend Storm, a half-sister to AP Indy. In 2015, Cord Vision was the leading freshman sire in Canada. He sired four stakes horses in his first crop, including Hammer's Vision, winner of his debut at Belmont and placed in the Grade 2 Saratoga Special, and his second crop yearling sold for up to $112,000. A brilliant runner, a leading first crop sire, beautifully bred, standing for just $6,500 due in a full stand of nurses, and eligible for the Breed Secure program. That's Cord Vision at Spendthrift Farm. Call Des Dempsey, Brian Lyle, or Mark Toothacker at 859-294-0030 and see the website spendthriftfarm.com. Well, I've had my Lubris in this morning, so I was able to stir around it a little bit better. And Lubris in and Reborn, that's two products that, you know, I happen to believe in. Both of them were developed by one of the nation's top veterinarians, Dr. Steve Alday, owns a beautiful farm down around Shelbyville. And both are endorsed, incidentally, by many owners and trainers and veterinarians. And both, incidentally, are all natural. They're test-free. You don't have to worry about going to the spit box. Lubricin, to put it simply, sustains the integrity of joint fluid. That's why I take it. Now, they make it both for humans and for horses. And, of course, some of the trainers that use it, which is a whole lot more important than me using it, are Todd Pletcher, Tony Dutrow, Jerry Hollendoffer, Mike Maker. Well, anyway, you see something going to the post of one of those gentlemen, and that's just to mention just a few of them are saddling, and you know that they're running on Lubricin. And they do have it for humans. It tastes real good, and I take it, and it really, seriously, it does help me. I know everybody over at Old Friends takes it, including the horses. Reborn is 100% sterile, whole, concentrated natural bovine colostrum. Safe, it's easy to use. Use it as a dietary supplement for horses of all ages, but good idea to start with your foals, because what it does is strengthens the foal's immune system immensely while he's nursing on the mare because of its high concentration of growth factors and antibodies. And actually, it supports immune functions in horses of all ages. A lot of trainers use that too. No, Charlie Lopresti used it with Wise Dan, just to mention one of them. And what it does, it supports immune functions, as I said, and fights off illness and so forth. Well, anyway, here's how you find out more about it than just listening to me. Go to lubricin.com, lubricyn.com, or reborn, reborne.com. Here's where you can buy it around here. They sell it over at Old Friends. KBC here in Lexington sells it, and so does Horse Sense down in Versailles. So anyway, that's two products developed by Dr. Steve Alday. Well, first crop winnings by Alternation sold for up to $125,000 this year. That's the best price for a weaning, and his was the highest sales average among all first crop weaning sires, standing in his price range. He stands for $7,500. Alternation is a superb individual, the sire's a super individual, so much so that breeders who sent mares to him in his first year at stud liked the results, and they returned for more in his second year. So that bodes well for the future also. Alternation has a lot going for him. He was a multiple graded stakes winner millionaire. He's by champion sire to start at Humor. His dam, a daughter of the great Seattle Slew, won a place in 10 stakes, 5 graded, earned over $500,000. His female family is loaded with black type, and it's already produced such outstanding sires as Broken Vow. And he's sighing grand looking foals. Alternation fees $7,500 due when a foal stands and nurses. Book foal, his first two seasons at stud, and he's at Pin Oak Stud. Inquiries at Clifford Berry or Nancy Stevens at 859-873-1420, and see the website pinoakstud.com.
Now, back to the Thoroughbred Training Center in Ursulelis.
All right, well, we're starting the second hour here. I'm just running one set of commercials behind, as usual. All right, and Matt Howard stopped in, brought me a Christmas card. It's too cheap to mail it to me because it saves a stamp, you know.
I got two kids to feed.
You got two kids to feed? Well, that's all right. Well, I got I brought pictures of the family.
Mm-hmm.
If I could get you out of it and just have Crystal and the boys, it would be great.
You know, I didn't want to do the picture anyways. Crystal goes in. She said, "Let's get a picture of the boys." I said, "All right." I got off of work, and she's like, "Well, here's your clothes to wear." I said, "So I knew I had to be in at least one."
You know, does Crystal have blue eyes too?
Yes.
Okay, well, all four of you do.
Yes.
How about that? Okay. What are you going to do about this boy's hair on the left?
Both of them. Crystal wanted to. They got their hair cut last week, and the little girls at the barber shop styled it, and they liked it. So Crystal styled it again for it.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, what's going on in your life, my buddy?
Nothing. I have now taken a position out of Valkyrie Stud. It's a broodmare operation owned by Kathy Park.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go out there and be the general manager, and I'm looking forward to it.
Well, that's great. When do you take over out there?
Going to start right after the holiday, right after Christmas. We're going to run home to Kansas for Christmas and see family and get a new chapter of our life going.
Mm-hmm.
So, looking forward to it.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah.
That's great.
I'll tell you what, after I took it, you know, I did some research on Valkyrie Stud and Kathy Park. Amazing. I mean, she has bred some just phenomenal horses and came up under, you know, after college, she worked for Lee Eaton.
That's and Lee Eaton.
And oh my goodness!
One of the two best horsemen I've ever been around in my life,
and so
and a good friend. He was a personal friend of mine.
So I look forward to actually getting to expand my knowledge even more, other than just being around you.
I put a damper on that, didn't I?
Yeah. So we're very excited.
Well, that's good. That's really wonderful. Going to live on the farm?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's great. That's great. I know she's mostly market breeder.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I think she does keep some to run her own. But yeah, very, very successful market breeder as well.
She worked some time with Henry White also?
Mm-hmm.
Another good horseman.
And then worked for one of the bloodstock agents that I can't remember.
Bloodstock Research.
There you go.
Yeah. That's a great organization. She was probably there I guess Happy had taken over by that time. His dad, Dick Broadbent, founded it. Mm-hmm. I knew Dick very well. And Happy's a great guy. I mean, he's just, you know, I mean, he really, well, he breeds too. He's mm-hmm. in the horse business too and been very successful. So
yeah, she's got, there's, I want to say about 300 acres out there, and she's got it set up just right for mm-hmm. everything. It's just, we took a tour of the farm, and it's, I like it. Uh-huh. She did, you know, she's a horse woman.
Yeah.
And set it up right.
That's farm. About all she's ever done, isn't it?
I believe so, right out of college. She, when I was asking her if she was originally from the Kentucky area, she grew up in Ohio, went to UK, and never left.
Yeah, okay.
So.
Yeah, well, that's great.
So, yeah, we're very excited.
Yeah. Well, she boards a lot of horses, I saw.
Yeah, she boards, but she only with her certain clients that she's had for years.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Now, exactly where is Valkyrie located?
It is west of Georgetown, like over by Stamping Ground, I believe. I haven't gotten familiar with the area yet. We've only been over there a couple times. But uh-huh. I know I go up around the bypass and I hang a left at a dead end and I go a little ways and it's there.
Okay. Well, you go out the Mike, what's that Route 25 going up towards yes. Cincinnati? Route 25. Is it off Route 25? You go through go straight through Georgetown?
I went up because I was over at working on Rude and Riddle's new farm, so I took the bypass.
Oh.
West and went all the way around Georgetown, and then where that bypass dead ends,
uh-huh.
I hang a left.
Oh, okay.
I think
that's 62.
Yeah, okay.
I think that you're right.
Yeah, that well.
62.
Okay.
No, 62 goes.
No.
No, it's not 62. So 62 goes through downtown Broadway, Georgetown, and then go over by Old Friends.
If my wife was here, she would tell you. It is.
Well.
On Long.
Well,
it just disappeared on me.
No, well, now he's gone to his
Longwood Pike.
Ain't nothing like dead air, is it?
It's off of Kentucky. You go 62 to 32, and it's off of Longwood Pike.
Well, okay. Well, there I don't know go. Where it is. I'm going to have to go down there and take a look
Most
at
definitely.
It. Most
definitely.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll get you situated down there.
And, yeah. And I'll tell you, sometime in the future, you ought to have Kathy on your show.
You think she'd come on?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I'll talk to her.
I'd love to have her on her because, you know, if she knew Lee,
yeah.
Lee was a close friend of mine.
But I don't know if I wanted to have her talking to you about me. I'm just starting for her. I might have to find a new job after she talks to you.
Well, that's
yeah,
great.
Yeah, we're very excited. So, yeah.
Well, I'm happy for you, my friend.
Yes.
And so. I know that you had your choice of several farms. I won't mention anybody's yeah. name, but I know it was a hard decision, and I'm sure you made the right one. But
yeah, going through this interview process, you know, after I left the old farm, you know, and going through it, and I ended up meeting some great people, having good interviews, and it was a stressful task, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah,
and wow. so. And I ended up, but I think I definitely know I made the right choice.
Yeah.
Passing up some good ones that are good people, but it was just right for me.
Yeah, well, so. Great. Well, that's wonderful. All right.
Well, Matt, what about quarter horse?
Well, I think he's weaned off quarter.
No.
What does he want to know about quarter horses?
I'm not weaned off. I still have my quarter horse riding horses, and the good thing is Kathy Park is a reiner now.
Oh, is she?
Yeah, she has her indoor arena, and she rides a quarter horse, so. I'll never be too far off a quarter horse. Matter of fact, Matt Frazier called me yesterday as he was driving down to Florida, getting ready for Hialeah. So no, I'll never be out of quarter horses.
Yeah,
it's like I'll never be out of Kansas.
Yeah. Well, you've got a couple of hard boots. Is Dutch going to be five?
No, he just turned five.
Just going to turn five. Yeah,
the 29th of November, and Gage turns three. On the 15th
of this month.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got a couple of little birthday presents down there for them, so don't forget them.
I know what they are, and I'm glad because last time they got gifts, they were noisemakers. And luckily, when we were moving, I finally threw away the last Santa Claus figurine from 3 years ago that was still singing.
It was
just random singing in the toy box. It is now went to Goodwill. It is someone else's problem.
You give that away. You're giving your kids toys away. That's right.
She's on the store right now.
There you go. I hope Jackie's listening. She probably stopped and picked something up.
Oh, but yeah, no.
Well, congratulations.
Because then we'll, of course, have you guys out for dinner at the new place.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. That's what we're going to. We were counting on you all for Christmas, but you're not going
to
be here.
No, we're going to go see family.
Yeah.
It's been a while since we've been able to get away to go to Kansas.
Yeah.
To God's country.
God for case, God forsaken. I've been to Kansas. You don't have to tell me about that. What was it that Crystal told me? She says, you drive through Kansas and you see trees. You know, it's either a town or a graveyard.
Yep, that is correct.
What's the area code of Kansas?
All right, listen, I got to catch up here. All right, the promising 2-year-old colt Awesome Speed, winner of the $100,000 James F. Lewis Stakes at Laurel, is just the latest of the 61 stakes winners by Awesome again. Bred in Kentucky by H. Allen Poindexter, Awesome Speed is a $335,000 graduate of the Facey Tipton March sale. Spent at 6 furlongs and 9-2 to take the James F. Lewis Stakes. Looks every inch a bargain. His win followed just days after the win by Spelling Again, a filly by Awesome Again, in the Grade 2 Shaluki Stakes at Churchill. Spelling Again then went to Aqueduct and placed in the Grade 3 Gopher One. That brought her earnings up to over $331,000. She was bred by George Strawbridge, and she's also won the Open Mind Stakes at Churchill Downs this year. Awesome Speed, Spelling Again, are typical of the type of runner sired by Awesome Again. He has also sired 14 Grade 1 winners and 4 Breeders' Cup champions, including the Hall of Famer Go Zapper. Both Awesome Again and Go Zapper won the Breeders' Cup Classic, and both have sired winners of the Breeders' Cup races. Ranked among the nation's elite sires, Awesome Again and Go Zapper stand at Edina Springs, Kentucky. Inquiries to Cormac Bruthnock or Jack Brothers at 859-987-1798, and see the website adinastallions.com.
Sports 1580 is available everywhere you want to listen on our free iHeartRadio app. Download it now. WWTF Georgetown, Lexington.
Well, include aside 8 Grade 1 winners plus 17 others that have placed in Grade 1 stakes. That's 21 Grade 1 horses. To have won Grade 1 stakes this year, 2 have. Include Betty, won the classic Grade 1 Mother Goose, one of the nation's top races for 3-year-olds. She was on her way to earning more than $741,000. And he also sized the he is the sire of the undefeated 3-year-old filly, Sobrador Inc. She defeated her elders in the Grade 1 Gran Premio Copa de Plata in Argentina on December 8th. Include is also represented this year by the crack 2-year-old Riker, winner of 3 straight stakes up in Canada, including the Grade 3 Gray Stakes at Woodbine, and the odds on favorite to earn a 7 award as champion 2-year-old colt in Canada. The Includes run big wherever they're asked to run, year in, year out. You send a steady procession of stakes winners to the races. Include stands for $10,000 live foal and Mr. and Mrs. Bird and Seedone's Airdrie Stud. See the website. Airdrestud.com. And remember, the Airdre Stallions are your key to racing profit.
Now, back to Horse Tales with Ursula Ellis.
All righty, let's see. Let's look at the stakes winners bred back in Kentucky. They won stakes over the last weekend. This is the compliments of the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association in Toba, and that's Chauncey Morris. And won a whole lot of them, though, but here they are. I don't think there were any graded stakes last weekend to speak of. But Turfway Open with a holiday inaugural stakes, and the winner, appropriately, was a Spanish Pipe Dream, a Kentucky bred. She's by Scat Daddy. Of course, Scat Daddy stands at Ashford Stud. He's the leading sire stakes winners in 2015. I think he's got 31 stakes winners this year. And he was bred, Spanish Pipe Dream was bred by Hurstland Farm. That's Alfred Knuckles and James H. Green Jr. I guess Alfred probably raised that one, no doubt. It is at Midway. The Garland of Roses Stakes at Aqueduct winner was Room for Me. That is a 5-year-old mare by Harlington. I don't know where Harlington is now. I don't think he's around here. Bred by Stonebriar Stables. That's another outfit. I don't know where Stonebriar Stables is. I got a lot to learn, haven't I? Won't you see? Here's what picked this one up. All right, the Willow on the Move Stakes at Laurel was won by Lady Sabilia. She's won a Passola Stakes. She's my Majestic Warrior. Ashford Stud, 5-year-old mare bred by Mrs. Frank P. Wright. Mr. Frank P. Wright is deceased. He was one of the top trainers up east at one time. He used to do some TV work. The Marylander Stakes at Law winner was Vorticity by Distorted Humor. It's a two-year-old colt bred by Ups and Downs Farms and Windstar Farm. And he races for Matthew Skira. And Distorted Humor, of course, the outstanding sire. One of the outstanding sires at Windstar Farm. At Gulfstream Park, the Tierra Stakes winner was Quiet Kitten. That's a Kitten's Joy. Another one bred by Ken and Sarah Ramsey. And on their farm down in the old Almahurst farm down in Nicholasville. Parts of it, I think it's almost all of that farm was at one time Henry Knight's Almahurst farm. And any Quiet Kitten did not race for this Ramsey. I guess they sold her or lost her or something like that. But anyway, another stakes winner by that top sire, Kitten's Joy. The Glass Slipper Stakes at Gulfstream Park went to Moonshine Promise. It's a six-year-old mare by Willie Shine. Now, don't ask me where Willie Shine is. I have no idea. Bred by Millennium Farms, which is right up here on the Paris Pike. Maybe I better learn. Six-year-old mare, she went by five, Gulfstream Park. Also at Gulfstream, the Canterbury Stakes. This is one of those claiming stakes. Big pot, though, $110,000. Successful Native by Successful Appeal was bred by Farrah's Farm. The Emerald Stakes, the Crown Emerald Stakes, $125,000. Another one of the claiming stakes down at Gulfstream last week. Key to Power won that. He's by AP Indy, bred by Pam and Martin Wygod. AP Indy is still alive, but he is pensioned. The Cactus Flower Stakes at Turf Paradise winner was Winning Vision. By Pollard's Vision, bred by John J. Greeley IV, Phil Houchins, Dennis Bohannon, and Paul Wedge. And by Pollard's Vision, I don't think he used to stand down at Wintergreen Farm, but I don't think he's there anymore. Well, in 2015, Yearlings by Arch sold for $167,618 with a high of $675,000. Arch stands for $40,000 doing the full stands and nurses. In 2015, he was represented by his 10th Grade 1 winner. That was Grand Arch. Grand Arch won the Grade 1 Shadwell Turf Mile, ran a game third in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Mile. That brought his earnings up to more than $1,807,000. Four of Arch's 10 Grade 1 winners were year-end champions. That list headed by Breeders' Cup Classic winner Blame, who concluded his career earnings with more of the earnings of his career with earnings of more than $4,368,000 and, of course, an Eclipse Award. Blame, like his sire, is a bargain. He stands for $25,000 doing a full stands and nurses. His 2015 sales yearlings average $139,140 with a high of $600,000. Blame has sired 11 stakes horses in his first crop. Seven of them are placed in graded stakes with three graded stakes winners. Arch and Blame descend from a sire line noted for stamina, and they stand at Claiborne Farm. For more information, get in touch with Bernie Sams at 389-233-4252 and see the website at claibornefarm.com. LexHorseFarms.com, that's Hill and Reagan Parker. I haven't seen Hill lately. He usually has something, one or two in training, that he kind of keeps his hand in because he's a really top horseman, in addition to being a really nice guy, and also a real estate agent. But he and his lovely bride, Reagan, have been in the real estate business now for over a dozen years. And I'll give you that website here in just a minute. Because they're horse people, and if you they understand what horse people need, if you are looking for, if you're looking for a farm, they'll keep looking to find one that's just the right price. And the perfect farm just for you. I mean, they work real hard at it. They're people that you can trust. And when our time comes, sooner or later, that we'll have to sell our little farm, well, that's who we're going to turn to. That's Hill and Reagan Parker. They've got great listings right now on their website. I'll give you that website in just a minute. I mean, they've got them at all prices, starting at $12 million and so forth. Let me see if I can find one down. Here's one. Over in it's in Fayette County. It's $875,000 out on Lemons Mill Pike, and four bedrooms, a three bathroom, 4,305 square feet. It's a beauty. 24 acres backs up to the Elkhorn Creek. You can go down there and fish, and you fall in love with this place if you see it. It's $875,000. It's a wonderful place. And one here for Juan Harp Ennis, four bedrooms, four bathrooms there. It's got 66 acres. It's a turnkey horse operation. Very, very good. And then right up the road from us on Clay Kaiser in Bourbon County, there's a farm down there that's absolutely, I'd vouch for this. It's a beautiful place. That's, what do they call that farm? What's the name of it?
Right Green up? Lodge.
Greenwood Lodge.
Greenwood Lodge, right.
Yeah, I mean, it's a show place. It's beautiful.
Oh, and they had a really old house on the place, like 1800s, and they redid it and saved it.
And they even built, they even have a chapel
a
there.
A chapel?
Yeah. You can go down there, you know, go in there and you don't have,
preach.
Don't have to go to church. And you just go in there and preach and listen
That's
to yourself.
That's right. Listen to yourself preach.
All right.
Donate.
Yeah.
Donate. That's right.
Donate. Yeah, don't forget to lay, when you leave, lay a dollar on
it. Now, wait a minute. Didn't August Belmont have a chapel out there?
August Belmont?
Yeah.
Yeah, he sure he did. Right at, you know where Spur Road enters on Georgetown Pike?
Yeah.
Right across from that. Yeah.
And
that.
Whose grandfather used to preach out there at the Belmont?
My grandfather.
There we go. Who is probably in the family. Skipped a generation.
As he watched from heaven, yeah. Watching me down through the last few years, he's probably turned over in his grave many, many times. But anyway, but here's how you get in touch with Hillary Reagan Parker. It's let me give you the number first. It's 859 Lexington number, 608-8039. And the website is lexhorsefarms.com. Lexhorsefarms.com. What a great website. Go take a look at it. Well, Jack Milton. Is that the right one I'm supposed to do? Yeah, yeah, new stud horse over to Crestwood Farm. Jack Milton, grade one winner by the immensely popular War Front. Going to stand his first season stud next year at Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm. The only grade one winning center War Front to enter stud next year. Jack Milton is going to stand for $6,500 doing a full stanza nurses. And he's eligible for Crestwood's Share the Upside program, where you can receive a lifetime breeding right to this horse. Boy, you better call about that. Jack Milton brings a lot to the table. He won Keeneland's Grade 1 Maker's Mark Mile. He won the Grade 3 Transylvania Stakes, also at Keeneland. He won the Grade 3 Poker Stakes at Belmont Park. He placed in six more stakes, five graded, three Grade 1. He earned over $853,000. Won his first start of his career. Ran a mile in 133 flat as second best among all stallions retiring to stud next year. He registered a Rogozin of 2. That was the only son of War Front to equal that. The only one to equal that is the factory. You know how fast he was. In his six stakes placing, five were graded, three were grade one, and he was never beaten more than a length in any of those stakes placings. His full sister won graded stakes. There are 9 stakes horses under his first dam alone. Terrific pedigree. So you better call now. Crestwood Farm, 859-252-3770, and see the website at crestwoodfarm.com.
You're listening to Horse Tales with Ursula Lele.
Hi, Jackie. Do you want to
short and sweet announcements? There's not much going on before Christmas.
You got a pen? Anybody got a pen around here? I forgot to bring a pen.
Somewhere. Bressie's finding one.
Oh, thank you. Make sure we get it back.
Okay. Jockey Club has issued a reminder that you better register your yearlings and two-year-olds by December 31st. You don't want additional late registration fees. They increase from $550 to $800 in unregistered yearlings and $800 to $2,025 after December 1st. So don't forget that if you have something registered late. Now, one of the few things going on is Southern Lights at the Horse Park. It's beautiful. You take a car out there. It's open at 5:30. You've got about 2 more weeks to do this. It's called the 12 Days of Christmas. They have lights. They've got the Keeneland Racetrack, Spires of Churchill Downs, a wide variety of holiday and equine-themed displays with thousands of twinkling lights. It's a treat. A lot of people, that's just part of the Christmas celebration now. And after the driving tour, you can park your car or truck and walk into the park's main campus to check out the holiday festivals. They have the gift shop, and they have holiday craft merchants, seasonal entertainment, and exotic petting zoo, pony and camel rides. Cracks me up, the camel ride part. Mini train express, model train. I love model trains, dollhouses. So it's a good thing to do. They're open at 5:30. They close at 10. The holiday festival stuff will be open every night except December 24th through the 31st. So take advantage of shorter lines and go Monday through Thursday this year. It's $15 a car. It's $25 on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday nights. You don't want to miss this. It's something you don't forget. And, just beautiful. Well worth the trouble. And it's not much trouble. Just get in your car. Today, December 12th, is the Lexington Winter Tournament down at today and tomorrow down at Lakeside in Frankfort. If you show a ride, you know where it is. It's down near Versailles, where Versailles Road meets I-64 at Frankfort. So if you want to call Julie Kaufman, 873-2339, or just check it out. And, of course, we're out here at the training center, Thoroughbred Center. They are in the fence material business. You get posts and planks of all shapes, all kinds, and stuff, and they're very reasonable. We just got our fencing all patched up, and they came out and painted. It looks wonderful. It really does. It really looks great. Makes everything look so much better. So give Jim Pendergast a call, 293-1853. And I don't know. That's about it. You know, Masterson opens their indoor riding arena during the winter, because it's too crummy to ride outside. It's available Monday through Friday from 8 to 5, every Tuesday and Thursday even until 8, but you have to have a prior reservation. Call Georgia Ackerman. She's at Parks Recreations, 253-0328. If you can't remember the number, just call the city and city county government, and they'll give you her phone number, and you can make reservations. I think it's $15. I can't be sure, but it's really nice. It's a place to ride indoors.
Well, I want to thank Teresa Tubbs. That's Terry Tubbs' much better half, for this little booklet she found and brought to me. Terry dropped it by the house. Thank you, Teresa. I really appreciate it. This thing is fascinating little book. It's just a very small, but it's Kentucky Derby Horses Train On, its title. And it says the 3-year-old records of every starter in every Kentucky Derby for 47 years. And this was published in 1921.
Isn't that neat?
From 1875 to 1921. It's a little book. I look in here to see who put it out. And it doesn't say, usually somebody, you don't find a little thing in there, we'll talk about it. It's really fascinating, and of course it starts with Aristides, gives his pedigree and his race record and everything, and every starter. I didn't know that the Tenbroke ran in that first Kentucky Derby, too. Ran out of the money, as a matter of fact. Beat four horses.
I found Himyar and all that kind of stuff, too.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's wonderful.
Yeah, it's great. The last one is... like I said, 1921, and that was Paul Jones. This is the 1920 Derby because it's Paul Jones. That's Man of War's year because Man of War didn't run in the Derby. But Paul Jones won it, and he beat Upset and Orne Watch. And who else was in that race that day? Cleopatra, is that one of the top fillies? Wild Air was in there. It was another very good racehorse. He went on and won the Metropolitan races like that. Blazes was in there, won stakes. He was a Maryland horse, I do believe. Damascus. Anyway, but that was in 1940. That's the last one. The year before, of course, was Exterminator's year. And that was in 1918. I believe there's another one in here somewhere. I was looking for 1918. Oh, no, here's the last one, 1921. That was right. Of course, that was the year that that Behave Yourself won it. He wasn't supposed to win it. He ran in an entry with Black Servant for Colonel E.R. Bradley. And Black Servant, they wanted to win with him because Colonel Bradley had bet a whole lot of money on him to win it, you know, earlier in like winter books and things like that.
Did the other jockey wind up deceased after that or anything?
Well, they never could catch him.
Oh, okay. But, there you go.
But anyway, what happened is, and of course, all the farm help and the racetrack help and everything else had put money earlier on Black Servant. And something happened during the run, and the Black Servant ducked a little bit. I forget what, I think somebody threw a hat on the
guy. Oh, cute.
But anyway, he was going to win it. But the rider on Behave Yourself went to the whip and won the race. And ooh. I think his name was Charles Thompson. Charlie Thompson was his name.
The late Charlie Thompson.
And reading the stories back in the books at that time, they said that he disappeared after the race.
Because, I tell you.
Because everybody connected with Idlehour and Colonel Bradley was looking for him.
I bet you. Dumb he was not.
But anyway, it's a fascinating little book, and thank you, Teresa. I really do appreciate it.
And thank
it.
You, Terry, for taking care of us. If it wasn't for Terry Tubbs,
he takes
real good care
of us.
Live there.
Yeah, that's the truth. That is the truth. That is the truth. Where am I now?
Oh, I know one thing I wanted to say about this book. What I thought was real interesting. The first Derby, the purse was $2,850.
Well, how much would that be now?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's at least double. Well, that would just probably be about $50,000.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know.
Yeah, I guess.
And
my four cars, three houses.
Yeah,
two farms. And
well, they didn't have cars at that time. You'd have to buy a horse.
It was up to $20,000 in 1919.
Yeah.
So you can see it, the money go up. Yeah. You can't really evaluate that now because it's too old.
Well, Yearlings by First Defense sold for up to $240,000 in 2015. And of 28 offered, 24 were sold. Horsemen like them. Easy to see why. He's getting runners. In 2015, his Irish Jasper was one of the better three-year-old fillies in training, winning the Grade 3 Victory Ride Stakes at Belmont, the Grade 3 Miss Preakness Stakes, and Aqueduct Bell Harbor Stakes with earnings of over $340,000. Yet another three-year-old, Fame and Power, won Belmont's $100,000 Subartan Stakes, placed in Keeneland's Grade 3 Lexington Stakes, Churchill's Grade 3 Matt Wynn. Also in the El Cajon Stakes out of Del Mar. In France, his two-year-old daughter, Antoneau, won Group 3 Stakes. And the three-year-old colt, Tamburlaine, won the Tutford Stakes in Ireland. Then, Dun Donnell, a Group Stakes winner in England, won Stakes at Hong Kong. As a matter of fact, he goes in, I believe it's today, this weekend anyway, one of those $3 or $4 million stakes that they run out there in Hong Kong. He goes today in a sprint. Dun Donnell is like an Eclipse Award winner, Close Hatches is from the first crop of First Defense. Grade 1 winner First Defense by Unbridled Song out of Empire Maker's half-sister Honest Lady, a Grade 1 winner by Seattle Slough, has already sent a steady procession of stakes quality horses to the races. Stands for $7,500 doing a full stanza nurses at Judmont Farm. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry, 859-272-7629. See the website, judmont.com. Well, through racing last weekend, horses raised on products from McCauley Brothers have won just over 21% of the graded stakes run in North America in 2015. Not only that, they've won over 32% of the Grade 1 stakes so far this year. Now, that's better than one in every five of the graded stakes and let's say 30%, one out of every three of the Grade 1 stakes. Who? McCauley Brothers, Versailles, Kentucky? Not the largest feed mill in North America, just the best. McCauley Brothers is the first feed mill in the nation to produce products exclusively for the horse. Their goal is a simple one, to manufacture the finest horse feeds and supplements in the world. Theirs is an uncompromising insistence in using the finest ingredients available and to apply the most stringent quality control measures to all aspects of production. The result is verified by performance on the tracks and in the sales arena. I would suggest that you contact Mike Warren or David Longmire at 859-873-3333. Talk to them about the products at McCauley Brothers and how they can enable you to meet your goals. Just about the ask also about the free services that are available with every bag of feed you purchase, and see the website at McCauleyBros.com. And you're always welcome to stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. Keep those stats in mind now. 21% of the graded stakes run this year in North America are won by horses on McCauley products, and over 30% of the grade one races were won on horses raised on McCauley products. McCauley Brothers office is 111 Broadway in Versailles. McCauley Brothers, that's where it is all about the horse. Daily Racing Form is out on your newsstands right now, the Sunday edition, and it's got a couple of nice articles in there. One on special diets for broodmares, and that's very interesting article. Also, John Sparkman's writing in there, Street Cry and Street Boss, that writing about Carolyn Sophia, who's by Street Boss Philly, that just won a very important stakes race. Of course, the Daily Racing Form is racing's Bible. And what I want you to do, though, is visit Daily Racing Form and get your free breeding update. And sign up today for it. That's drf.com/breeding update to sign on and get it. And it's, you'll find in-depth breeding news and sales and auction coverage and a whole lot more. I know also on every Tuesday, you can find the most comprehensive stakes reports available anywhere for owners and breeders. That provides full details on all black type stakes in North America with pedigrees, progeny reports on the female family, and information on the winning sires and so forth. And anyway, it's a Daily Racing Form Sunday edition, now on your newsstand. Of course, you get your Saturday edition there. And let's see, PP's, the post position, I mean, past performances are in the Sunday edition. Aqueduct and Laurel, Gulfstream and Parks, Fairgrounds, and of course, Turfway Park. So, Daily Racing Form, America's Bible.
Now, back to the Thoroughbred Training Center in Ursulelles.
Okay, now let's see what we're going to do. I was going to talk a little bit about, you know, they're running the Rampart Stakes today down at Gulfstream Park. It's a grade two race, and I want to talk a little about Rampart for you people back there who don't remember her. She was foal of 1942. She was by Trace Call. As far as I know, didn't sire much of anything other than Rampart. He was by a horse named Callboy. Foal in Great Britain, not Trace Call, but Callboy was. Anyway, Rampart was a registered black. You don't find many of them anymore. And she was out of a mare named Boat, a man of war, great producer. She was bred by Harry Scott, who owned Shandon Farm right up here on the Russell Cave Road. When you come out to Russell Cave and you cross over the interstate, it's the fur farm on the right now. I think some vet's got that now. I'll have to find out who has that now. But anyway, and he bred her in partnership with Samuel Riddle. Boat was a man of war mare. And a lot of the overflow from Riddle, Faraway Farm, went to Harry because he managed the farm, and Boat was one of those mares. They owned her in partnership. Terrific producer. In addition to Rampart, she was the dam of Greek Ship, the son of Heliopolis. It was won races like the Gold Cup and the Mammoth, the Metropolitan Handicap. Won a pot full of races. And he was went to stud. I don't think he did a whole lot of stud anyway. She was also the Dam of Noble Hero, another Heliopolis. The one of Choice Stakes, ran second in Lawrence Realization. Sky Ship was by Teddy's Comet. He won the Florida Derby and the Swift Stakes. Rio Rica, a daughter of the Argentine champion Rico Monte, top racehorse in this country, reported back in the early 40s. Anyway, Rio Rica won stakes out on the West Coast, and she was the dam of Drill Site. Drill Site was by Imbros. Imbros, the champion sprinter. He was by Polynesian. Stood out in California. Laguna Seca Ranch had him out there. He was a fast, fast horse. Won 19 races. She was also the grand dam of a bunch of horses. Hazel R. Was one of them, a good stakes winner, raced out on the coast, West Coast. Paola, a daughter of Shutout, that raced up in Canada and won stakes up there. Let's see, Skinny Minnie was from that family, one of the few stakes winners, sired by Ponder. Let's see who else comes from that family. Quentin's Gold, Shizbot. But, you know, it's just one of those families just explodes on you. And see if I can get back down here to the second dam. Well, anyway, let's get back to Rampart herself. She ran 104 times, and she won, how many races did she win? 31 races. She was 21 times second and 11 times third. And she won 63 times in the money out of 104 starts. Won 5 races as a 2-year-old, no stakes. She won 4 races as a 3-year-old. And she placed in the Newcastle at 4. She won 5 times. She ran, placed in stakes again. At 5, she had 8 wins. She was finally won a stake. She won the Biscayne Bay Handicap and placed a bunch of stakes. As a 6-year-old, she got tough. She won 9 races, won the Gulfstream Park Handicap, won the Black Helen Handicap, All-America Handicap, the Valley Forge Handicap, the Broadwalk Handicap, the Olympic Handicap, the Lady Baltimore Handicap. She ran 2nd 6 times and came back as a 7-year-old, won the Absecona Island Handicap and placed in some more stakes races under $190,000. This is back in the 40s, of course. And didn't hurt her produce record. There was 104 starts, didn't because she went, other than it took her out of production until she was probably 8 or 9 years old before she had her first foal. Well, the first foal was a foal of 52, a slide rule colt that was a winner. It was a filly, anyway. Then her second foal was by Unbreakable. It placed in stakes. It was a colt. And then she had Wendaisy, your host filly, who was a nice stakes winner. Won the Marguerite Stakes and a couple of other races, and she was the dam of Northern Bay, who was a very good stakes winner himself. And she also had a horse named Indian Guard, who won stakes over in France. And by decree, she was from that family, noble fighter, vagaries. Let's see what the fourth foal out of Rampart was, a filly by named Diathus, who was a winner. Dam of a stakes place winner, grand dam of Lord Durham, who was a champion 2-year-old colt up in Canada. Then she went, she had an alerted colt that won 13 races. She had a colt by Faultless that won 13 races. And her next to last foal was an Millie filly, Uncle Millie filly named Ampart. She didn't race, but she was dam of a pretty good stakes winner named Am Desirable, who won the Colleen Stakes and something called the Signature Stakes. Grand dam of Am Capable. You remember her? She won affectionately in the Distaff, the Interborough Handicap, the Burlow Handicap. Won the Correction, ran top race man. Anyway, it was a great pedigree, great family. So. Well, it's awesome again. It sired 61 stakes winners, 14 grade one winners, and he stands for a stud fee of $75,000. One of Awesome Again's 14 grade one winners was De Hare. De Hare accomplished that feat by winning the grade one Cigar Mile in New York. At stud, De Hare has sired a remarkable 13% black type horses from foals, 18% black type horses from starters. Average starter by De Hare earns right at $60,000. That's another solid statistic. In other words, the Harris Sires runners, a very high percentage of his earners, earn black type. If you're breeding to race, you just want to black type your mare, take a good look at De Hare. Stands at Shadwell Farm. Also there are the stallions Albertus Maximus, a grade one winner. He won the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile and Millionaire, and the sire of a 2-year-old stakes winner in his first crop this year. He had another 2-year-old winner yesterday at Law. Inadab, a graded stakes winner, and the sire of graded stakes winners. also stands there. Call Kent Barnes. Ask about breeding incentives. Number out there is 859-224-4585 and see the website at shadwellfarm.com.
Want unlimited access to pedigrees for more than 2 million foals? Then Brissette.com's American Produce Records is for you. Updated in real time and available on demand. Go to Brissette.com/APR. Optimized for tablet and mobile, Brissette.com's APR online is the place for instant access to a wealth of information on nearly every North American thoroughbred dating back more than a century. Race records, public auction prices, pedigree statistics, and more, all included for $275 per year. Visit Brissette.com/APR and discover why the APR has been the choice of bloodstock and racing professionals for generations, and why a new generation is using APR online.
Well, Winstar is the home of four of North America's most prolific sires of Grade 1 stakes winners. Distorted Humor, More Than Ready, Sprightstown, Tis Now. As might be expected, all four prominently ranked among the leaders on the 2015 sire list. On December 5 in Australia, More Than Ready was represented by his 20th Grade 1 or Group 1 winner when the three-year-old filly Perfect Reflection won the Group 1 Tab Touch Kingstown Town Classic. Perfect Reflection defeated older horses of both sexes to remain undefeated in five career starts. Respected the world over, More Than Ready has sired 150 stakes winners, creating a strong demand for his progeny. His 2015 sales yearlings sold for up to $750,000. Perfect Reflection, incidentally, defeated Australian champion Delicacy in her recent Grade 1 win to become the first three-year-old filly to take that important stakes since its inception in 1976. More Than Ready stands for $50,000 doing a full stance of nurses, and it stands at Winstar Farm. Inquiries to Kyle Wilson, Sean Tugel, or Carolyn Waltz at 859-873-1717. See the website winstarfarm.com. All righty. Well, we were talking a little bit about Rampart, and she was bred by Harry Scott and Samuel D. Riddle. And for a little history here, let me talk about Samuel D. Riddle. I'm going to the obituaries written back in 1951, American Racehorses. Joe Palmer wrote that. And I'm going to read that about Mr. Riddle, maybe to learn a little bit about him. He owned Faraway Farm out here. Of course, off the Russell Cave on Huffman Mill Road. As always, there are gaps in the ranks when the season was ended. One of the largest ones came early on January 8th when Samuel Doyle Riddle died at his home at Glen Riddle, Pennsylvania, at the age of 89. He had done many things, and he had owned many fine horses, but he was always identified as the owner of Man of War. He'd been born in Glen Riddle on July 1, 1861. He was the son of a prominent textile manufacturer, and he married Elizabeth Dobson from another textile family in Philadelphia and ultimately became head of his father's company. But most of his life was connected with racing. He was an amateur rider himself at the Hunt meetings, and he was long associated with the late J. Howard Lewis, whom he called the best rider that ever went over a fence, the two campaigning about the Hunt meeting circuit together. And in his later years, he had many tales, nearly all libelous, to tell all those that tell of those days. Even allowing a discount, they were great-hearted, joyous times, and they fostered a knowledge and love of horses which Mr. Riddle never lost. When advancing age made active participation in racing inadvisable, he turned to the flat and began to establish a stable. One of the first good horses which carried his silks, black with a gold sash, was Yankee Witch, and another early good one was Star Fancy, later the Dam of Crusader, which approximated Man of War in stature more closely than any of his other sons. The great purchase, of course, came in 1918 at Saratoga when Mr. Riddle paid $5,000 for Man of War, which had already been named by Mrs. August Belmont before it was finally decided to sell him. After the great horse had concluded his racing career, Mr. Riddle bought and developed Faraway Farm, which until Man of War's death in 1947, was the major tourist attraction in central Kentucky. Man of War gave him a host of good horses, Crusader, War Relic, American Flag, Scapa Flow, and War Admiral, being perhaps the best of them. The latter was the first horse he had ever started in the Kentucky Derby, and he went on to win the Triple Crown. In return, Man of War was treated like a horse, the best ever perhaps, but still a horse. Motion picture offers, exhibition offers, and various other bright ideas were summarily refused. There was only once that the big red racer was in danger of being removed from the roomy stall in the grassy paddock he enjoyed at Faraway. When Mrs. Riddle was in the last stages of the illness which caused her death in 1942, Mr. Riddle offered to ship the horse east so that she could see him once more. She declined, saying that the horse was getting old and the trip wouldn't be good for him. At his cottage at Faraway and at his August home at Saratoga, he was a gracious and generous host. But as one of his obituaries remarked, he enjoyed his feuds almost as much as his friends, and he almost took Saratoga Park the day Whirlaway beat War Relic for the Saranac handicap, a hasty glance at the picture suggesting the War Relic had won. Allowing all this, no man was ever more devoted to a horse. Another link between Man of War and the living Louis Fussell, well, I think I'm about to run out of time now. Well, let me read that, another paragraph. Another link between Man of War and the living Louis Fussell, who trained him, Andy Schottinger, and Earl Sandy, each of whom rode him once, and Johnny Loftus, who rode him at two, are all that remain, snapped on December 9th when Elizabeth Dangerfield died at Lexington. She was the daughter of Major Foxhall Dangerfield, who lived over the management of the great Castleton stud of his brother-in-law, James R. Keene. Major Dangerfield and Mrs. Keene and Mr. Keene died within 2 days of each other in 1913. And Miss Dangerfield, who probably knew more about the breeding of horses and the management of horse farms than any woman in the country, managed the stud until its dispersal. Later, she set up and managed Wycliffe stud of James W. Cargan and Price McGrath and Price McKinney, and was headed by Ultimus and the unbeaten Colden. In 1920, she was given the responsibility of Man of War, and he was retired after beating Sir Bart. She leased Hanada Farm at first, then managed Faraway, which Mr. Riddle purchased until 1930, and some of Man of War's greatest sons were produced under her management. Her later years were spent at her own farm, Haylands, where Morvitz was the last good horse under her supervision. She was a consultant for many breeders in the acquisition of breeding stock. She died on her 81st birthday. Now, they talk about Hanada Farm. Hanada Farm is now part of Spendthrift Farm. It was Plum Lane Farm when Henry White had it, and it's located on the corner of Russell Cave Road and Ironworks Pike. And that's where Man of War first went to stud. Was at that with Mrs. Dangerfield's farm there. All right, so that's a little bit of history about if you want to know something about the Man of War's breeder and so forth. Stakes races, how much time we got left here, my friend? Got 5 minutes. Okay. Stakes races today, just a couple of graded stakes. The Starlet Stakes, grade one is the big one. At Los Alamitos, I can't get used to them running thoroughbreds at Los Alamitos. It's, of course, they still run quarter horses there, too, as far as that goes. It's drawn a field of 9, 300,000 for 2-year-old fillies going a mile in the 16th. Treasuring, a daughter of Smart Strike. They've got the rail. Street Fancy by Street Sense is in the 2 slot. Number 3 stays in Vegas by City Zip. Number 4, Pacific Heat by Unusual Heat. Patriotic Demand is number 5. That's a hat trick. Surfside Tierra by Scat Daddy. Got the 6-0 on 7. Is Mama Sugar by Looking at Lucky. Number 8 is Sutton Smile by Patio Prado. That's his first crop. And Pretty and Cool on the outside, another Scat Daddy. And I said, I don't know who would be the favorite in there. It's kind of hard to tell. Also, let's see, the Rampart Stakes is a grade 3 race today at Gulfstream Park, and it's drawn a field of 8. On the rail is Call Star. Call Star is by Street Cry. Stifled is the 2 horse of Stephen Got Even. Pink Poppy by Tiz Now is on the 3 slot. Curlin's Princess by Curlin is number 4. Number 5 is Illegal Laura by Wildcat Air. Danessa Deluxe by Summer Bird is 6. Number 7, Best Behavior, Man of Mischief. Moment of Delight by AP Warrior is on the outside. Well, Court Vision, Canada's number 1 freshman sire and a top 10 freshman sire in North America, now in Kentucky, going to stand the 2016 season, going to stand for $6,500 doing a full stanza nurses, or for $8,000 on Spendthrift Farms' popular breed secure program. Court Vision, brilliant racehorse. Won 2 graded stakes as a 2-year-old. He won grade 1 stakes at 3, won grade 1 stakes at 4, won grade 1 stakes at 5, concluded his racing career with a victory in the grade 1 Breeders' Cup Mile. He won graded stakes on dirt, he won graded stakes on turf. He won 8 graded stakes, 5 grade 1, and he earned $3,746,658. Court Vision is one of 75 stakes winners by Gulch, and he's one of 4 stakes winners out of Weekend Storm, a half-sister to A.P. Indy. Whew, what a pedigree. In 2015, Court Vision was the leading freshman sire in Canada. He sired 4 stakes horses in his first crop. One of them was Hammer's Vision, who he won his first start at Belmont Park and then placed in the Grade 2 Saratoga Special. And his second crop yearling sold for up to $112,000. He was a brilliant runner. He was a leading first crop sire. He was beautifully bred, and he stands for just $6,500 due in the full stanza nurses. And he is eligible for the Breed Secure program at Spendthrift Farm. It's Court Vision at Spendthrift Farm. I think you can go see him now. Call Des Dempsey or Brian Lyle or Mark Toothacker at 859-294-0030. Take a look at the website at spendthriftfarm.com.
You're listening to Horse Tales with Ursula.
All righty. Well, I went off and forgot to bring the winners from the training center. But I'll talk to them. I'll give them next week at this time. How about that? Hopefully.
Good. Not much racing.
It's quite a bit coming up. As a matter of fact, I've got a list of those stakes here somewhere in the Derbers. Let's see what's coming up next.
Are there stakes on Christmas Day? It seems like there are.
Day after Christmas.
No, day after Christmas.
Yeah. Now, next week, as I said, they're running the Los Alamitos Futurity Grade 1 and the Grade 3 Mr. Prospect for Stakes and a Gulfstream. And then on the day after Christmas, we will have a show at that time, live show.
And we will do Old Pastures.
Yeah, we're going to do Old Pastures.
John T. Foote's Old Pastures. Yeah. Wonderful story.
Stakes the day after Christmas, the Grade 1 La Brea Stakes, the Grade 1 Malibu Stakes. That's Run Happy comes back in that, and so does Dortmund.
Dortmund, I know, was talking to him.
Yeah.
You know, his numbers are really a lot better than Run Happy's. His buyers and all that kind of stuff, very good.
Uh-oh, they're playing our song. That means it's time to check out. Well, thank you all for listening. You can go to the website and pick up this. And, of course, you can go to iHeartRadio and pick it up at any time. And that music means it's time to go. So we thank you down there, Clark. We appreciate it. And thank you, Ressi. We'll talk to you later.
Who cares about the